How we doing this morning? I got a thumbs up from Julie up there. Cool. Praise the Lord. Huh? Praise the Lord. Everybody ready? Probably all prepared for the Super Bowl, ready to go? Rock and roll? Huh? You even know who's playing? Well, we're going to channel a little bit of that excitement today. I'm going to try and speak to what the Lord has to speak this morning. It's going to be an interesting time. I'm looking forward to see what He's going to do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we humbly come before You this morning. Father, we have to leave everything that we do in Your hands. We have to bring it before You in prayer. Father, just allow You to do Your thing. Just let me step aside. Use me, Father, my voice. Just use me, Father. We're going to speak Your word today, and we're just going to get to know You a little better and just love You more. Father, we just ask this in Your precious and Your holy and wonderful name. Amen. Cool. Praise the Lord. What an awesome day, huh? Praise band's a little bit shy this morning. Huh? Yeah. Jamie did an awesome job. Julie, I messed up on the second song. Did you catch that? I messed up. Yeah, it was my fault. Julie picked that up. She's awesome. Awesome. But anyway, so there you go. See, I'm not perfect. Phew, glad we all know that. Huh? Praise the Lord. Huh? I was thinking this today I was going to preach today. With Les, keeping Les in our prayers today. He's kind of under the weather this morning, a little bit of a something going on there, maybe upper respiratory infection, maybe something. Just keep him in your prayers this morning. But I was thinking, you know, you look at the sermon title, it says, your future's looking bright through my eyes, God. Huh? You ever feel like your future's pretty bright? No? Everybody's like, no, future's like, it's cold out and I don't like it. Huh? Dwayne's devotion was pretty awesome because it really ties in with what we're going to talk about today. I was thinking, you know, yesterday, February the 2nd, 1 year since I had shoulder surgery. Fell off a machine, popped that thing out, had a bunch of surgery, had it in a sling for 2 months, couldn't move it, couldn't use it. Thing was pretty much worthless. Said it'd be 6 months, a year before I get back to work. 3 months, I was back to work and had nothing to do with me. It had all to do with him. Isn't that awesome? And I was thinking about that. You know, I'm thinking, man, you know, we all have stuff, right? Oswald Chambers, the little thing, he said, be nice to everybody you meet because everybody's going through something. And I think that's something we got to think about. I bet I could ask anybody here. We all got stuff, right? We're going through stuff, right? So I want to touch on some things. If you want to go to John chapter 16, I got a question. And the reason I bring this up, I had a guy at work. I work construction, so these guys are kind of rough, most of them. And this guy actually started going to church, him and his wife, and he said the church didn't burn down when he went, which is pretty awesome. And he said that he said he's done some really bad. He said, you don't know the bad things I've done. He said, I don't know if I can even go to church. And I did. He said he did. And his wife's going to church. And I told him, I said, you know? And he said, man, he said, there's just no way. And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, if you got a DUI on Saturday night, if you was out running around and got a DUI on Saturday night, would you go to church on Sunday? No. He said, I'd probably wait a couple months before I ever tried to go back. You know what I mean? Wait till it calmed down a little bit. I said, okay. So it's your fault you went out drinking, you got a DUI. I said, what if you pulled out in front of somebody and got in a car wreck? It's your fault. Police actually give you a ticket for pulling out. You got hit, you're hurt really bad. What are you going to do? I'm going to go to the hospital. I said, wouldn't you want to go home and wait a while? It's your fault. He's like, I said, it's the same thing. Church is not a place where people go, I have arrived. No. We're all messed up. Anyway. We all got troubles, right? We got stuff we deal with every day, right? We're messed up. It's the same thing as getting hurt. You wouldn't wait to go to the hospital with a broken leg and bleeding, right? It's the same thing. This is where you come to get comfort, to get prayed for, to get encouraged for the next day. You got things coming on, right? You got things coming on. So talk to him about that. So I don't know. He said, I'd like you to talk to my dad. And I said, we can do that. He said, because he'll never go to church. I said, well, never say never, because we got a God that's capable of a lot of things, right? John chapter 16, we're going to look at some stuff today. I want you to get an idea, no matter what you're going through. And if I, like I said, I bet if I ask everybody here, you got something, right? Whether it's physical, whether it's something emotional, maybe it's heartfelt, maybe, I mean something. We all got something we're dealing with. And we all have to understand that God is there for you, right? Huh? Do you believe that? Hopefully after today, you will. Huh? Let's go look. John chapter 16. And I got a couple of verses here, 32 to 33. If you read John chapter 15, he's talking about the secrets of the vine. You abide in me, I'll abide in you. 16, he's telling his disciples all this stuff, and they're like, dude, what are you trying to say? And he's explaining all this stuff, and he's talking, and this is the Matt paraphrase. He's talking, telling them all this stuff. And when you come up here, in verse 29, on John chapter 16, verse 29, I read from the Amplified, and I don't think we have that yet on the screen, so which is pretty cool. So I'm going to read this, so if it sounds a little bit different than yours. The Amplified was it's a Bible rendition, 1965, and it's as close, if you do word studies in the Hebrew and the Greek, Old Testament's written in Hebrew, New Testament's written in Greek, if you do word studies on that, it's as close as it gets, okay? Dwayne's little thing in Hebrews 13:5, the very last part of that, it says, you know, be happy where you're at, and I will not leave you. I will not, I will not, I will not, never, 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 assuredly, most assuredly, not. It's a triple negative in the Greek. Isn't that cool? God says, I ain't going to let you go. That's cool. And it ties right in with what we're talking about today. So all this stuff, and then he comes to verse, we'll read 29 here, it says, his disciples say, ah, Now. It says, now you're speaking plainly to us and not speaking in parables. Now, verse 30. Now we know that you are acquainted with everything and have no need to ask questions. Because of this, we believe that you really come from God. They're almost like, we got it. Ding, 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 ding. Light bulb came on. We got it, God. We're sitting there telling Jesus, we got it. What's Jesus say? Verse 31 says, Jesus answered him, do you now believe? Do you believe now? Verse 32, take notice, the hour is coming, and it has arrived, when you will all be dispersed and scattered, every man to his own home, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Wow. They said, we got it. We figured it out. We got it, God. We got it, right? And he's like, you know, you're all going to leave me, and I'm going to be all by myself. The Lord Jesus Christ, the God of creation, said, you're going to leave me, and I'm going to be all by myself. But, what's he say? I'm not going to be alone, because I got the Father with me. Isn't that awesome? I think that's a word of testimony to us. We have the Father with us, no matter if everybody has forsaken us, no matter if nobody seems to care, we have God. Amen. And verse 33 is where I want to touch here. It says, I have told you these things, so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Wow. In the world you have tribulation. In the world you have tribulation. Anybody here not in the world? We're all here, right? Yeah. In the world you will have tribulation, trials, and distresses, and frustration. Wow. That word for tribulation is kind of cool. I looked this up here. The word for tribulation is... It primarily means a pressing pressure. Pressing pressure. Anything that burdens the spirit. Wow. You're going to have some stuff come against you. And Jesus said, you know what? Guys, you're going to have some stuff. Because you know what? He's seen the cross, what's coming. He's got some stuff coming on him, doesn't he? He's the God of the universe, could spoke the worlds into existence. Let there be light, and 10 billion, trillion, gazillion stars. They don't even know where they're all at yet. They can't count them. They can't even see them. He just spoke it, and it was there. That same God is going to allow himself to be beat, spit upon, ridiculed, nailed to a cross. He said, guys, you're going to have troubles in this life. And then what's he say? Be a good cheer. Be happy. Don't work, does it? Yeah, no. I thought, you know, this one verse, you read this, you're going to have tribulation in this world, but be a good cheer. I've overcome the world. Does it make you happy? No. He's like, ugh. He says, be a good cheer, for I have overcome the world. The Amplified says, I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Isn't that cool? The Lord Jesus Christ said, you know, when they nailed me to that cross, I'm going to take everything you did. So I'm not good enough to go to church. Didn't burn down. I came to church. Didn't burn down. Huh? So I'm that bad. I'm a bad guy. No. He said, I take that. I'm going to take that. Our Lord and Savior said, I am going to take that for you. That when my Father looks at you, all He sees is me. Isn't that cool? You're never going to get good enough to get to church. I'm not good enough to come to church. I'm not. I mean, I take a shower, I clean up, I put some stuff on so I don't stink real bad. You know what I'm saying? We all do that. I'm still not good enough to come to church. Only because of what He did. Isn't that cool? Let's go to the Old Testament. Let's go back into Psalms. You guys ever read the Psalms just for something to do? Billy Graham said he read 5 Psalms a day. And I think a chapter in Job, or not Job, in Proverbs, every day, before he got started. Billy Graham seemed like he was a pretty godly guy, didn't he? Seemed like he was. Seemed like he did, yeah. I mean, he probably brought millions of people to Christ, huh? Seemed like a godly guy. Psalms is a kind of neat thing to read. I want you to see something. I'm going to try and bring this out. See how the Lord does with this thing. In Psalms chapter 6, we're going to go to Psalms chapter 6. This is a Psalm of David. Everybody know who David was? He was a king of Israel, right? He did a lot of cool stuff. He killed a giant. With a slingshot. Huh? With a sling. Let me ask you, if there was a bear out the door, would you want to go, give me my pocket knife, I'm going to get that guy. Huh? It's the same thing. It's a bear. He ain't going out there with a pocket knife. You stupid? Yeah, he was stupid. He said, you know what? I'm going to trust God. God says he's going to give him my hand. I'm going to go get him. Huh? And David did actually kill a lion and a bear with his bare hands. Wow. He's a pretty tough guy, isn't he? He's a man's man. That's right. He's a man's man. He's tough, right? This is a Psalm of David. And I want you to hear what he has to say here. Psalm of David says in verse 1, I'm going to read the whole thing because I want to touch base on some things here. It says, O Lord, David says, O Jehovah, O Eternal One, O Eternal God, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline and chasten me in your hot displeasure. Sound like he thought God was mad at him, didn't he? You ever think that? I'm the only one? Must be the only one. You ever think he's mad at me? I drive in Cleveland a lot, and I'm thinking, he's just got to be so mad at all these stupid people. Huh? And I look in the rearview mirror. Oh, me too. Huh? He's got to be. And oh my gosh, let me go on. Verse 2, it says, have mercy on me and be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. Verse 3, my inner self, as well as my body, is also exceedingly disturbed and troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? How long? When you read this, it almost sounds like he has some kind of something wrong with him, didn't it? Sound like he might have had something going on. Doesn't say. Nobody knows. There's people who think, well, maybe he was physically afflicted. When he says my body and soul, that means his whole person was being afflicted by whatever was going on. Phew. It says in verse 4, return, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love and mercy. Wow. Save me. He's got all this. It almost seemed like he's about ready to die, isn't he? Could die. This could be bad, right? I mean, he's in a bad way. He's telling God, he says, man, this is bad. I'm bad. Bad shape. And then he says in verse 5, says, for in death there is no remembrance for you in Sheol. Who will give you thanks? So, you know, when I first read that, it's almost like David's telling God, saying, you know what? If I die, no, I'm not going to be able to praise you. Nobody's going to be out there singing to you, praising the Lord. That's not what he's talking about here. Because, you know, we know there's other people that was praising and magnifying the Lord at this time. When he says this, he says, there is no remembrance, he's saying, in Sheol, in hell, people aren't praising and magnifying you. Just here. just here. And let's go on. So we're getting a picture. This sounds like this sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? We're going down. Verse 6. I am weary with my groaning. All night I soak my pillow with tears. I drench my couch with weeping. Now this is a man's man. Huh? Some people say that his couch is wet with tears. Some people say it's just melting away with tears. I mean, this dude's crying a lot. Huh? He says, I drench my bed is soaked because I'm crying. He's got some stuff. He says, my eyes grow dim because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. He says, this is all bad. And if you read this, it says, in the night, it's almost like every night, he's crying. Wow. This sounds like it's pretty bad, doesn't it? Sounds pretty bad. He's in a pretty bad way, isn't he? Yeah, he is. Something I have found. When you're in a position like that, you're crying. You're weeping over something that's going on in your life. There's no words, is there? Can't really talk. You know what? That's a universal. It's a universal language that God hears. Isn't that cool? It's a universal. Let's go on. Let's look at the rest of this. It says, verse 7 says, for my eyes grow dim because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Verse 8 says, depart from me, all the workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. What? He says, the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. You mean to tell me when I'm crying before the Lord, when I'm soaking my pillow with my tears, God hears my voice? Isn't that cool? Doesn't that get you excited? He hears you even when I can't say a word. I can't speak. I'm so... He hears me. And you know what? He knows he hears him. Look at this. Verse 9. The Lord has heard. What? The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord receives my prayer. David knew that when he talked to God, he was going to be heard. How did he know that? Sitting on the couch, drinking smooth drinks, eating what I want, no problems, right? No! He went through some stuff! He had to have trouble. He had to have trials. What did Jesus say? In this world, you're going to have some stuff. Going to be some stuff. You got stuff coming. The older I get, the more stuff I got coming. Right? The older you get, you got aches and pains, you got stuff, right? It says, the Lord has heard my supplication and received my prayer. David knew that God heard him cry. David knew that God was the answer to all his problems. David knew that if he talked to God about it, he was going to get an answer. He knew it. And the only way he knew it was because he was having trouble and had been through some stuff. I heard a missionary one time. He grew up in Africa. Learned to use a slingshot with the tribe that he was with. Young guy, 5 years old. And he said, when he heard the story of David and Goliath, he's like, oh, Goliath's going down. Because they could take a slingshot, they could hit a squirrel, they could hit... These guys were good! They killed animals with a slingshot. That's what they did. And I'm thinking to myself, we think, you give me a slingshot, I ain't going out of that bear. No way. These guys were like, bring him on! Bring him on! Because they experienced it, knew what it was. They knew what they could do with that slingshot, right? God's no different. When you have trials and troubles come into your life, and He is there for you, and He answers it. And does He answer your prayers every way you like them? No. I told Tim and Shirley this morning, I told her before, God answers prayer in 3 ways, right? Told you before. Yes, no, and really slow. Huh? He's telling me 40-some years ago he prayed for something, and just received it. 40-some years! That's a long time, isn't it? It's a long time. God is faithful. Let's go on. Then verse 10 says, let all my enemies be ashamed and sorely troubled. Let them turn back and be put to shame suddenly. You ever read any of David's Psalms that just break their teeth right out of their mouth? That's what he says. It's like, dude, that sounds kind of mean, don't it? Just break their teeth right out of their mouth. That's what he says. Here he says, let them be ashamed and turn back suddenly. I did some word studies on that. You know what he's asking God to do to his enemies? Save them. Save them. I looked up this word. I'll probably have to find it here. Yes, I got all these. I did something different this time. I got little cards to put my notes on. I don't know if it works very well or not. Anyway, but in verse 10, the Hebrew word here for return or turn back is shub, meaning recover, convert, restore. David was not praying for destruction of his enemies, but for their conversion. You mean, he had some stuff going on here probably, didn't he? Sounds like he had some pretty mean enemies. Stuff doing. I don't, didn't say what they were doing, doing stuff. But David said, you know what? Save them, God. Isn't that cool? You ever have somebody you got to deal with? And you're praying for them that God would maybe bring them to him, maybe? You ever do that? Or do you use the David prayer, bust their teeth right out of their mouth? Huh? You never pray that way. You guys are not mean enough. I would pray that sometimes. You just knock him out. Yeah. Huh? You guys would never be that way. But I would, because that's just the way I am sometimes. But I'm thinking, so David, he's got all this stuff. He's crying. He knows that God's here. But he knows that God hears his prayer, doesn't he? Isn't that cool? He knows God hears his prayer. And I want to stop at some places. We ain't going to get there very far. But being we're in Psalms, why don't we go to Psalms... Why don't we go to Psalms 46? There's a whole lot of stuff. If you ever read the book of Psalms, there's a lot of cool stuff in here. There's a lot of... David was not afraid to tell God, this is how I feel. He was not afraid. He was not afraid to say, you know what, God? Just kill him. Just kill him! Kill him! He wasn't afraid to tell him that. Because he felt that in his heart, right? He felt that. God knows your heart. You think he does? I think he does. God knows your heart. David was not afraid to tell God how he felt. And I think sometimes, you ever tell somebody something and get it off your chest? It's like, ah, I feel better. I think it's the same way with God. I think he's like, just give it to me. Dwayne said, you got to nail it to that cross. Whew, that sounds painful, doesn't it? Sounds painful, doesn't it? Nail it to the cross. That hurt, wasn't it? Sometimes you got to nail things to the cross. Psalms 46, God is our refuge and strength. Really? Do you believe that? Do you believe without a doubt that God is your refuge and strength? Mighty, the Amplified says, mighty and impenetrable. A very present and well-proved help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth... Listen to this. I went to Richard Shirley's, wasn't really a funeral, it was more of a celebration of life. And you ever do that, you come to that place, almost 2 years ago now, I preached my dad's funeral. It's very final. It's very final. You know, death is a final thing. It's the end, right? It's the end. It's the end for the body. But there is a part of you that will live forever. And when you see that, when you come face to face with that, you think, this is, doctor comes to you and says, you know what? You only got a couple months, maybe a couple weeks. Got something bad wrong with you. That's got to be tough. That's got to be hard. Doesn't it? I think about that. What would you do? What would you do? I've seen people go through that. What would you do if someone says, you know, you only got maybe a year to live or 6 months or something to live? Would that change your attitude about what you did and how you treated people and what you wanted to tell people before you left? Huh? Wouldn't it? Psalm 46, in verse 2, it says, therefore we will not fear though the earth should change. Arctic vortex. I never heard that before. Where did you get that word from? Arctic vortex. I mean, when I was a kid, it was just, it's going to be cold. The wind's coming down from the Arctic. It's just going to be cold. Now it's an Arctic vortex. Okay, I had to bring it up. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains be shaken into the midst of the sea. This sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? Wow. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Phew, it says Selah. You ever hear that? See that in Psalms of Selah. It means to pause and calmly think about it. You mean if the earth is just water, tsunamis, all this stuff? Verse 4. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her early in the morning. He's saying, you know, even though everything falls apart, God is still in your midst. Verse 6. The nations raged, the kingdoms tottered and were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. Phew! That sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? I mean, we see the ice melting, we think that's a good thing, right? The ice is melting, that's a good thing. What if the stones are melting? What if the dirt's melting? That's getting pretty bad, isn't it? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, our fortress and high tower. It says, Selah, pause and come and think about that. He's here. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has brought desolation and wonders in the earth, who makes wars to cease to the end of the earth, who breaks the bow into pieces and snaps the spear in two. He burns the chariots in fire. Let be and be still, verse 10. And know that I am God. Whoa. You mean no matter what comes against me, I have to stop and think, you know, he still knows my name. Why does he know my name? Why does he even know who I am? Because I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And because of that, I have a name that only he knows. And you have that same thing. He knows your name. And when you cry out to him, it's not just a thing. The bulletin says, prayer, the world's greatest wireless connection. I was doing wireless long before it ever came around. Isn't that cool? I was wireless before it was even a thing. Isn't that cool? God was wireless before he even knew what wireless meant. Isn't that cool? Yeah. It says, I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Wow. We serve an awesome God, don't we? Do you understand that we serve an awesome God? We do. Let's go to Psalm 91. Psalms 91. See, I'm making it easy for you. Staying in one book. You just go to different chapters, right? Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is an awesome psalm. It talks about people being killed on your right side, 10,000 on your left, all the stuff coming on. It ain't going to come around you. And I want to touch on it. Because I want you to understand, you can't just say, I know God. Nothing's going to happen to me. I'm good. I can step out in front of a car. Won't hurt me. I know. I can jump off a 10-story building. I'm going to be splatted all over the pavement. God has some rules in this world, right? He has some rules. Psalm 91, if you don't get anything else from this, Psalm 91, the first two verses. The first two verses, everything in this psalm hinges on the first two verses. Let's read the first two verses. Let's say, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. Wow. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. Really? When someone comes up against you, do you say, my God's bigger? Let me ask you a question. If you have a problem, do you want somebody to come up, no, remember, God's bigger. You probably want to break my teeth out of my mouth, right? Right? That's not what you want to hear, right? You need somebody to be compassionate. compassion. Definition, the greatest, most awesome definition of compassion I ever heard was, your pain in my heart. That's compassion. Your pain in my heart. Because I've been where you're at. I felt what you feel. I've been through what you're going through. I understand where you're at. That's compassion. He knows it too, even better than I. Because he's had it all. He's been through it all. He's suffered it all. He's done it all. He's God. All of this, when you read down through here, I don't want to read all this, but it just talks about he's covered under his, you're covered under his wings. It says pestilence. I want to read you a couple more verses because I want you to see this. I want you to see this. You think God takes a break? Think he'll have to take a nap? Has to sleep? I need a vacation. I got to go to the beach for a week. I mean, do you think God does that? Nah, on vacation. Huh? Think he ever does that? Psalm 91:5, it says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction and sudden death that lay waste at noonday. And when I was looking at this, I thought, this is kind of cool. In the Hebrew day, it was broken up into four parts. Your day was broken up into four parts. Night was the time between 6 p.m. and midnight. Okay. Day was 6 a.m. to noon. Darkness was from midnight to 6 a.m. And noonday was from noon to 6 p.m. Covers all 24 hours. I think God's saying here, you know what? No matter what time of the day or night, no matter what time, it don't matter, I'm up. I got this. I got this. And that Psalm 91 is such an awesome psalm. There's just stuff that there's, and I actually, this sermon today was going to be on Psalm 91. That's what I was preaching on today, Psalm 91. But the Lord changed my plans on that. So we're going to look at a couple other things. There's a couple other verses that I really would like to look at. In Proverbs 16:9, we're just going to be fleeting through. We're going to end up here in the New Testament. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps and makes them sure. And Philip Yancey says, he interprets this as, we plan the way we want to go and live, but God makes us able to live it. Huh? It is God who makes you able. Because you can make plans, right? We can make plans. I can promise you, I'm going to promise you the sun's going to come out today. I peeked outside and it looks like it is right now. But I mean, you know, that could have been a lie, right? Because sometimes in the wintertime, we don't get no sun, right? So can you believe me? Heck, I ain't got no control over the sun. Think God does? He does. He does. And I want to read you something that I wrote down. I thought this was pretty cool. Hopefully I can find it. Maybe I can. It's talking about faith. Faith does not rest upon a promise. But my faith is in God. And he's given me 7,400 and some promises in this book. Isn't that cool? 7,000. And you know what all the promises in there are? Yes. The promises. God promises it. Faith rests upon the character of the one who makes the promise. Can we believe that God is able to deliver on his promise? Yes. If you can say yes, as hard as it is, because we've all had prayers that we prayed and we want an answer for, and it doesn't seem like God's doing anything. Can you hear me? Is that what you do sometimes? Huh? You ever walk outside at night and close the door and go, ah! I'm sure mothers with children probably do, right? Huh? Huh? Ah! You know what I mean? Ah! Huh? And I think God's like, I still got it. I still got it. Don't worry. I got this. You have to come to a point. When you're in the middle of trial or tribulation, I can't come to you and preach and throw verses of scripture in your face because it ain't going to work. But you have to come to that point, you can say, okay, I know God. And I know he wants the best for me. I can read all these promises in this book. and He wants the best for me. So I'm going to have to rely on His answer, whatever that answer is. Even if it's not the answer that I want. You ever been there? Everybody have an answer that they got from God that they didn't want? That's not the answer I wanted, God. You're not listening. Huh? 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, you look back and you think, well, I'm glad that didn't work out the way I wanted to. Huh? You ever been there? I'm old enough to know that. I look back and think, man, I'm glad that didn't work out the way I wanted to. Huh? God knows what's coming in your future. The title of the message today, God knows your future. He knows your future. And it's bright. And you're here for a reason. You are here for a reason. You are here for... God has a plan for you to do something that no one else on this earth can do. And that's your job. But I don't know what it is! You don't have to. God will get you to that point where you will. Isn't that cool? Huh? I've said it before, I've said it again. There's no reason I should be up here and be able to talk to you about the Lord. I'm not a preacher. I'm more of a teacher. I like to look at the Word. I like to teach the Word. But I'm getting more of a preacher's heart. Because you feel for people. And you know their trouble. And you know their problems. I think God gives that to you. No way I could be over up here singing. Phew, gosh. This morning we didn't have a guitar player, didn't have a drum player. Lost a couple singers. Jamie's here, Julie's here, I'm here. There's no way I've ever done that before. Huh? You know what? God has a plan. So when He puts you in a situation that's not comfortable, and He will put you in a situation where you are not comfortable at all. But He's trying to get you somewhere. God is trying to get you somewhere. And you know what? You will get grace for that. God will give you grace. I told you I preached my dad's funeral. That's something that no one should ever have to do. That's hard. But you know what? I got a lot of grace that day. And it was awesome. It was awesome. And I wouldn't want anybody else to do it because he asked me to. You know what I'm saying? And I thought that's pretty awesome. Let's keep going. I want to look at a couple more things. I want to go to the New Testament. And I want to look at Ephesians chapter 6 real quick. We're going to end up in Romans. Romans chapter 8 is where we're going to end up. So if you want to put your finger in Romans chapter 8, you want to go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, there's some verses here that talks about putting on the armor of God. And I think I've told you, when you start your day in the morning, you need to put on the armor of God. Why? Because when you get out of bed in the morning, whether you jump out of bed like a spring or drag yourself out of bed like a 90-year-old man, things are going to start coming against you. Even while you're still sleeping, they're getting ready to get you. Huh? In Ephesians chapter 6, I want to look at verse 13. I just want to look at one verse. We're talking about the armor of God. The armor of God is what? The helmet of salvation? Breastplate of righteousness. Belt of truth, shoes of peace, shield of faith that is able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. And I take up the Word of God. The Holy Spirit wields the Spirit, the Word, that Word of God. You mean this thing is a sword? You mean it cuts and divides in its power? You better believe it. He says, put on all the stuff. Verse 13 says, therefore, put on God's complete armor. And I'll read this out of Amplified. Catch this. That you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Really? If there's a bear coming down the highway, I'm probably going to run. Huh? You, a smart person would, right? And he's hungry because he's looking at me. I look like a steak dinner. Huh? Right? He says, having done all the crisis demands. Have you ever been in a situation you're praying to God and He tells you to do nothing? But you want to do something? Huh? You ever been in that situation? You ever been in a situation where you're praying to God for an answer to something and He tells you to do something? You're like, well, I couldn't do that. I ain't going to do that. It's one and the same thing. God is trying to get you to a point where you can stand in the day of trial. Stand in the day of trouble. And you can say, you know what? If you noticed all this armor that I just put on, what covers my back? God's got your back. Isn't that cool? He doesn't give you a place to turn and run because you expose your back, right? He says, I got this, brother. I'm right behind you. I got this. Wow. I can believe that God's got my back? You mean that guy that spoke the world into existence? Sounds pretty powerful to me. What do you think? Huh? Sounds pretty powerful. He don't love me enough because I'm too bad. I can't even go into church. The place is burning to the ground. Don't know what I've done. He don't love me that much. You know, God loves His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were Father and Son. He loved Him. He loved Him. He loved Him. He loved Him. They'd been together for eternities, eternities. He loved Him. He loves you more. Because He sent His Son to die on that cross in your place. Wow. Somebody walked in with a gun today, would you step over there and say, no, kill me and leave these people go? Think you could do that? Think you could do that? Pick me! Pick me! Kill me! Would you do that? That'd be tough, wouldn't it? Lord Jesus Christ did. He told God the Father, He said, pick me. I will go. I will stand in their place. I will take the sins of the entire world upon myself. And I'll buy them back for you. Isn't that awesome? He loves you. Let's go to Romans 8. I want you to see something here. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Talking about a lot of things here in Romans chapter 8. I want you to see one thing here. I've read this before, and I'm sure you guys have too before. In verse 30 it says, and those whom He thus foreordained, He also called. Let's go back one. I want to read verse 29 because I want you to see something. For those whom He foreordained, He also destined from the beginning to be molded into the image of His Son. You mean God wants you to look like Jesus? Yeah. He wants to mold you into the image of His Son. Wow. When I look in the mirror morning, I'm not seeing that. That He might become the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom He thus foreordained, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Wow. Verse 31. What then shall we say to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? You ever hear that verse before? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's a pretty good verse. Let's go to the next one down there, verse 32. He who did not withhold or spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, will He not also with Him freely and graciously give us all things? Wow. God loves you a lot. He loves you a lot. 33. Romans 8, 33. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? He's asking a question. Who's going to charge you? Who's going to judge you? Who? God who justifies? That is, who puts us in right relation to Himself, who shall come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen. Well, God who acquits us, He says, who's going to judge you? There's a point in time, if you read the book of Revelation, there's going to be a point in time where we're going to be judged. Matthew tells us that we're going to be judged for every idle word. Anybody ever say anything they shouldn't have? I'm the only one? Okay. I'm the only one that's ever said anything I shouldn't have. See? I'm going to be judged for every idle word that I've ever said. That's a lot. I'm going to be judged for every idle thought that I've ever had. Kill him, God! Kill him! Huh? Wow. I'm going to be judged for everything I've done in this body. Every act. Every works. I've done. I'll be judged. You know what? You know what the verdict will be? Huh? I paid for him. The Lord Jesus Christ on that day is going to say, well, you know what? I paid for that one. I paid for him. I paid in full. Debt is paid. Isn't that great? Huh? Paid in full. Who's going to accuse you? Nobody. Satan may accuse you. I believe that's why the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrected body had the nail prints in his hands. He had the hole in his side. He had the pierced feet. When Satan says, that guy was bad. I know him. He shouldn't even went to church. He was so bad. Jesus is going to say, you know what? I paid the price. Wow. And no one's going to be able to argue with that, are they? He paid the price. Verse 34. Who is there to condemn us? Who's going to condemn you? Well, Christ Jesus. Who died, or rather who was raised from the dead, who is actually at the right hand of God, actually pleading as he intercedes for us. Isn't that cool? The Lord Jesus Christ raised from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of the Father and said, oh no, I paid for him. He's mine. Got him. Nope, her. Not got them. So they're mine. Paid the price. And God the Father is going, yes! Verse 35. Who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Who can separate you from the love that the Lord Jesus Christ... Guys, the only thing that held him on that cross was love. Them nails couldn't have held him, not 10 seconds. Them nails were not what held him to the cross. He's held on the cross. He said he could have called 12 legions of angels. One angel one night killed 185,000 people in the Old Testament. You think he could have called 12 legions and just wiped this out? You know what? He loved you so much that his love for you held him on that cross. Isn't that cool? He says, who's going to separate you? Who? Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation... What have you been talking about? Troubles? So shall suffering and affliction and tribulation separate you from the love of God? No. Or calamity and distress? No. Or persecution or hunger or destitution or peril or sword? All answers no. Even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet amid all these things, I know you've heard this verse before, yet amid all these things we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through Him who loved us. Him! When you've got a problem, you take it to Him. When you've got a situation, you take it to Him. For I am persuaded beyond doubt. He says, I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things impending and threatening nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There ain't nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Isn't that good to know? Isn't it good to know? Nothing separates you from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. Some days it feels like it though, doesn't it? Some days it feels like it. When you fall and pop your arm out, you can't use it and it's all broke up and they got to do surgery on it and fix it and do some stuff in there. Doesn't seem like he loved me real good, does it? But when I look where I fell, if I'd have fell 6 feet to the front, I'd have landed on some rebar and stuff and killed me. If I'd have fell 6 feet back the other way, I'd have went down a 15-foot concrete bank down into a tank with raw sewage in it. I'd have probably been dead, right? So did he love me? Yeah, he did. And he taught me some things in that too. I told you that when they was doing that therapy and that thing hurt so bad you couldn't move it. They were actually pulling on and stretching that thing to stretch that thing, and it hurt so bad. It felt like you're tearing your arm off. It felt like you're tearing my arm off. And I wouldn't take the pain meds because it made me sick and nauseous and lightheaded and stupid, and I'm stupid enough. I didn't need any more of that. So I didn't take the pain meds. So the guy, and he, when he got done with that, I would laugh. He said, "You are weird." I said, "You know what?" I said, "God told me he's as real as that pain feels." That was learning for me. He said he's as real. And when he stressed that, it was like, "I'm as real as that pain feels." And I thought, "You know what? That's pretty good. I can preach that." And then when he come back, I laugh. He goes, "You're just weird, dude." Yes! I'm like, "Praise the Lord!" So even in the midst of stupid stuff, God's still there. God's still there. Remember that. God is still there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we humbly come before you this morning, Father, we thank you that we can just look at you. You are so trustworthy. You are so loyal. You are so loving. Father, I just thank you for that, for who you are. Father, we praise and thank you for sending your Son, who volunteered to come and die on a cross in my place, in our place, that we can stand before you blameless, spotless, perfect, in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we thank you. Oh, we don't know why you did it, but we sure praise you that you did. And Father, I just ask that your Holy Spirit, your presence, would be with each and every one here. They would feel your presence and know that you are with them, and your strength and your power is with them. And the Father, you'll never let them down. No matter what the situation, no matter where they're at, you're right there with them. Your compassion is there. We just praise you, Father. We thank you. Father, we thank you for this time. We can look at your word, learn about you, praise you, Father. We just praise you and we thank you. Father, in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Praise band wants to come forward. We got a song I'd like to do. It's Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. It's a neat song. It kind of ties things together here, I guess. And if Jesse and Matt want to come forward, the elders want to come forward. This time we sing, this is what the song called Invitation. It's a song of invitation. If you have something you need prayer for, if you need something, no matter what it is, it could be trivial, it could be a hangnail, it could be major, it could be life-threatening. These men are here, they love you, and they're showing you the love of God, and they're going to pray for you and ask the Lord to intervene in your life. And the prayer of a fervent man avails much. We're going to sing a song for you.